Hey, everybody. It's a beautiful Wednesday, February 23rd. It's National Dog Biscuit Day. And it's time for the Wise Guys and Girl and Matt, sponsored by Kmart's Pet Department. When my buddy Bob worked there, he tried feeding badgers two different types of dog biscuit. But they couldn't decide which ones to eat. Apparently, badgers can't be choosers. As always, let's start with Sir and the weather.
Unlike the puns, it's not a terrible day out there. Currently -3, working our way down to a low of -8, a bit of sun, perhaps a bit of snow later, and chilly temperatures for the next couple of days. And on National Dog Biscuit Day, we give a random daily shout out to these tasty treats for man's best friend. And you know what the key ingredient in dog biscuits is? That's right, cauliflower. Anyway, be sure to treat your pooch today with a tasty treat, and remember that every dog has his day, but a dog with a broken tail has a weak end. Yeah, it's going to get worse, I'm sure.
We're all weakened from that.
Let's put this one to the paparazzi today. We're excited that we're raising the roof on National Dog Biscuit Day. Dog biscuits do come in a variety of sizes, shapes, and flavors. Barbecue being one of the favorites, and popcorn is another favorite. Sometimes dog biscuits serve to deliver vitamins and medicines that we might have difficulty getting our pooches to take otherwise. And these specialty treats offer dogs and their owners much to choose from. Even young dogs, or subwoofers as we call them, on restricted diets won't have trouble finding a dog biscuit that's gentle on their tummy, and on a hot day, maybe even a nice popsicle. Other treats help keep teeth healthy and fresh. What better reward could you ask for your pup? Bon Appetit. Oh, these should go up on the wall. These are terrible puns. It is time for Tunes with Tamik. Well, what are we listening to today? Are you playing a segment from Live at the Alpo Low?
No, I'm actually highlighting one song, but I was like, oh, I should have done Bone Thugs in Harmony. When you started saying Bone, I'm like, I should have done Bone Thugs in Harmony, but I'm sure I'll can find something for them. So today we're looking at the song Hound Dog. Now, many people know this to have been sung by Elvis Presley in 1956. However, in 1952, it was actually written by Jerry Liebler and Mike Stoller. And the first person to actually record it was Big Mama Thornton, who was originally a blues singer. Now, apparently, the story goes, they wrote it for her because they liked her personality. Apparently, she's a big woman, 350 pounds, tall, scarred face. So, like, she was, when she sang the blues, she was talking about her life. So, apparently, they were trying to write a song for her that would really reflect sort of the gravity of her voice and her performance style. And everything they were trying to do just wasn't working. And so they said, let's use a slang expression. So I didn't know this. The hound dog was originally a slang expression that black folks used. And basically it was about a man being good for nothing and basically just like using a woman, right? So that's what it came from. So that song was written for a woman using a woman's voice. That's what the original song was for. So I go ahead and listen to Big Mama Thornton's version of Hound Dog. When you hear the story behind the song, it really changes now how you think about the lyrics and who it was written for and the inspiration. So it's kind of cool sometimes to dig a little deeper into music and also inspiration behind the music. And she was also attributed to being one of the people that kind of moved blues and R&B into rock and roll with the use of guitar. And that was sort of the genesis of how things began. So listen to Big Mama Thornton's version of Hound Dog. Let us know what you think for the 1.5 people that are listening to us. And that's my take for today.
If only you weren't muted, JD.
See, that's big media trying to mute us from broadcasting that we have at least 4 committed, dedicated daily listeners. So, excellent. Let us get to Ventures with Venturo, today sponsored by PJ's Pet Center. They're searching for a new dog biscuit supplier. The current ones break apart too easy. They're very crummy. Oh. What have you got for us today, Venturo?
A few things to share today. For those of you who don't know, today is Jamaican Paddy Day. And that is celebrated in Toronto, right? February 23rd. And I was just going back to and reading it. Back in 1985, when the Jamaican Paddy started to get popular, right? An inspector went to the store and said, listen, you can't have a patty that has flour. All right. So there was a conflict between the patty and the burger and the Jamaican patty. And that started this big hullabaloo, right, which almost ended up in court. But lucky enough, it was settled. Right. So if you love the Jamaican patty, go out there today and buy yourself some patties and enjoy that. Right. Today is Wednesday. And Wednesday's book is, it's a fun one. I actually watched the movie for this one. It's A Dog's Way Home. Right? It's a good book, right? By W. Bruce Cameron. Yeah, A Dog Way Home. Did my homework. You love this, right? Now, if everybody has dogs on this show, probably except me and probably Rohini. If you went somewhere, right? Let's say you went 5 miles away and you lost your dog. Could he find his way home? Mark? No?
Yes.
I think she could. Yeah, I think Stella would make her way back.
Yeah, so it's a book about a guy who actually lost his dog 400 miles away from his house, right? And his dog found a way back. So go check that book out. It's A Dog's Way Home. If you don't like reading that book, you can go check out the movie. It's available on Netflix as well. And finally, I want to wrap up with today is my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
My dad is a big 80 today. So happy birthday, Dad, Mr. Winston Keith Bryan Sr., a.k.a. Slick Rick. Enjoy your day. That's it for me, guys.
All right, have we checked this book out? Because we might as well just stop recording if we can't play it. yep, okay. And side note, D's Nuts is up to about 10 or 15 views. So.
Even those with an allergy are into it.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Sizzler, where Vice Principal Botnick and our special guest, Matt Schulman, Quote Machine, work together to earn a gift certificate to the Zeller's Restaurant featuring Jamaican patties today. Matt, how you doing?
Searching for unicorns. Oh, still looking.
Maybe Friday. I think I might find some Friday.
One of these days.
You will earn valuable Zeller's Restaurant dollars based on the accuracy and creativity of your responses and how much they delight the wise guys and girl, and bonus bucks earned each time you get Venturo to laugh out loud. We have a $3 carryover from last week, and I have three questions in my hand about dog biscuits, brought to you by Gourmet Dog Treats. Actually, if you've never tried them, I hear they don't really taste like dog at all. Question number one, just after World War I, dog biscuit was a military slang term for what item? Matt Schulman.
It refers to the plan of the Allied powers to divide up post-war Germany, or was that a dog's breakfast?
Wow, and $6 for accuracy. And for forecasting the next few months. Vice Principal Botnick.
Oh, if he's already given the right answer, do I even bother? We'll give it a go anyway. Dog biscuit. I think it was code for canine cookie. So apparently the enemy dogs were very adept at cracking codes written in alliteration. So the military had to come up with something a little more complicated. Given that spelling is not a dog's forte, they totally confounded them with the word biscuit. What's that C-U-I-T doing in there?
You're creative, sir. Mr. Language Person for $6 right. As well. I had the answer around here somewhere. We'll go with what you guys said. Let's go to question number two. Okay, let's get the legend down here right. Blueberries good, grapes bad, onions and garlic no bueno for dogs, antifreeze for some reason is also on the list of bad things for dogs.
Somebody with food.
Bad thing for everybody.
I don't know. It was on the list of bad for dogs. But this juicy fruit, not the gum, is good for them. And what is it? Here's Principal Botnick.
I want to say kumquats. I have no idea what they are. I just wanted to say the word kumquats on the air.
And good for you for sneaking a dog command into your response. How long has your dog been called Quats?
I might explain why Stella never comes when I call her.
Matt Shulman.
Huckleberry?
I don't know what your question was anymore. Huckleberry, $4. That's a dollar for every...
what's that? Yeah, sure. So,
break a word into smaller chunks.
So, dollar with pounds.
So,
you might want to put a sleep after this.
Yeah, I had the SY part.
He's like, when you break up words,
break it into cinnamon. Throw in
if only there was a librarian who could ask.
Too soon. All right, we got an extra.
That's the problem. Nobody's going to get that.
Till they come for a visit to the Adult Education Center, Mississauga campus. Professional library.
Oh, gosh. All right. Another $4 and plus two because we got Venturo good there. Question number three. How were dog biscuits, originally known as dog breads, invented? Matt Shulman.
Little Johnny Nabisco, a curious and inventive lad, but had a mischievous streak, poached some table scraps from Fido's bowl and mushed it into his Play-Doh mold. The food hardened some over the next few days, but Fido's great sense of smell drew him to it. Little Johnny remembered how delighted Fido was with the hardened, bar-shaped product. That memory would be valuable years down the road because around the same time, a merger of bakeries in the New York area created the American Biscuit and Manufacturing Company, which later became National Biscuit Company, NABISCO. Oh. You may see where this is going. You may not. They hired Johnny Nabisco, not because he knew anything about baking biscuits, but because they wanted to invent a more appealing origin story for the company. In truth, Johnny Nabisco was not very involved in the business, but they trotted him out as a spokesman on occasion. In 1931, Nabisco purchased Bennett's Milkbone, which had dominated the American dog treat market ever since F.H. Bennett stole the idea from Spratt's dog biscuits. But Bennett had the good sense to shape the biscuit like a bone. Upon seeing the Milkbones come off the Nabisco production line, Johnny Nabisco fondly recalled that day when Fido enjoyed those molded table scraps and wept a bittersweet tear. For you see, dear listeners, little Johnny realized that he could have been the great dog biscuit inventor, but success is built on execution, not inspiration. It's about determination and grit. As Bennett said to Johnny one day, you have to be like a dog with a bone.
And what's more sense?
And that's all the time we have for today's show, everyone.
Wow.
You cut into tomorrow's airtime as well.
I think we've got a record-setting performance, $15, and compliments for getting lad, bittersweet, and execution in your response. Vice Principal Botnick.
What else is there left to say? I will say.
Ibis.
There are no more words.
Well, the origin actually isn't American, it's British. So, like all terrestrial life, dog biscuits came from the sea, kind of. Back in the day, British sailors were not fed so well while at sea, and the gross but apparently nutritious hard breads that they had to eat were a bone of contention, as it were, between the sailors and the officers. So the sailors complained that the rations were not fit for a dog to eat. The officers challenged their men to prove it. So they threw the hard breads to the pooches on board, who proceeded to devour them with haste. So, of course, Captain Purina and Lieutenant Alpo, seeing an opportunity, immediately turned the ship around and began to market the tasty dog treats, and the rest, as they say, is history. It's long story,
Dave. You know the history because of math.
Well, question three was the extended response type of question for today.
It's just the topic. It brings it out of us.
Very passionate responses. I got to say, we get $10 there, and the carryover of 2 and 6 and 4 and 4 and 8, and we're at, I don't know, $46. Hey, treats for patties and Jell-O treats for everybody. I don't think they serve Jell-O shots at the Zeller's restaurant. Jell-O treats and Jamaican patties for everybody. Well done, gentlemen. All right, it is Wednesday. It's time for Wednesday's word. Well, I don't really actually have a word. I don't know what the term is, but I bought a pack of those animal-shaped biscuits for my pup, but I had them take them back because the seal was broken. maybe we'll overlay Sir on top of this after with what his creative genius comes up with. And that is it for us today, everybody. Thanks to our fans and friends and odds and ends and librarians for listening today. Have a great Wednesday, everyone. We are the Wise Guys and Girl and Matt, leaving you smarter and happier than you were yesterday.